bud.
Go for it.
Hey, that's his. And this is mine.
Later. Good evening, and welcome everyone to the Simple Actions group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is John, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, John.
For those of you that care to join us, please let us open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
All right, the Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up the small flight of stairs. If you are smoking after the meeting, please step away from the front of the church, and there's an urn just on the other side of the bicycle storage area. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation, ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we are doing steps 5, 6, and 7 all together.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. And if you'd like to join me, we're going to start reading on page 72. And we're starting with step 5, which is we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Page 72, the paragraph starting with having made. Having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain facts. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty, in the sense that we find it necessary, until they told someone else all their life story. At this point, I'll hand it over to Jesse.
Whoa. David said I had to talk into this thing, so I'm going to try to do that. Hi, I'm Jesse. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is March 1st, 2008. I have a home group. It's Downtown Young and Sober, and I apparently also dragged the other speaker here today from Downtown Young and Sober. So step five. I remember being pretty miserable after I finished a fourth step. You know, I wrote down all this stuff and I saw how, like, pathetic my resentments were. You know, I was mad at people because they were who they were. And it really, you know, struck home that these, you know, why I was so mad at people for most reasons were, you know, pathetic in one word, you know. And I get this all down. I met with my sponsor and we went through the fourth column. And, you know, I found out what... we got down to the nitty-gritty. It's not the fact that I'm shy. You know, I thought that when I got to these steps that, like, it was going to be awesome. I was going to get rid of all the defects that didn't make Jesse cool. You know, so I was going to, you know, not able to deal with girls, that's a defect. Boom, I'm going to be able to be good. You know, I'm shy, you know, lazy. All those things are going to go away, and I'm going to be left a pretty awesome dude. And that was kind of shut down when we got to those steps, you know. But I get to tell my sponsor my whole story, you know, and I used my fourth step as a big chunk of how to navigate my life, because I'm, like, still scatterbrained and not knowing, like, exactly what's going on. You know, I'm like, thinking back, I'm, you know, reflecting on my actions like I've never really done before. And, you know, so I'm as thorough and honest as I can be at the time. And, you know, he starts off first, too. He's like, you know, I'm going to throw, like, my big, deep, dark secret. And he says it to me, and it kind of blows my mind. And, you know, I was like, wow. You know, but what it did is it opened the door for me to do it, too. You know, so, I told him that I had been sexually assaulted, you know, just while drunk, you know, put in a bad situation, you know, and obviously didn't handle it well. But I, you know, blamed myself for that thing. And, you know, and after that, like, the just... happened, and, you know, we talked for the next 4 hours about my life and the people in it, you know, how I was raised, the people in my family, and all the things that kind of make Jesse who Jesse is. And you know, every time I had a story I thought was bad, he one-upped me, you know, that and that made me mad. Like, I at one point told him, I was like, maybe I got more drinking to do, I need to catch up with you. And he's like, no, you've done this amount of work, you don't need to go back. And, you know, I was joking at the time, but I really felt like, man, maybe I'm here a little earlier than I could have been, you know, and that's a blessing, really, if I got here then, you know, and I've been able to stick around and do that. But, you know, the experience of letting that stuff, like, off my shoulders was, like, immense. You know, the fact that I was not alone is what this step did for me. You know, like, you guys told my story, you know, I stuck around, I listened to speaker meetings, and... you guys, you know, I related to everything, but to have someone actually sit down and dissect my life with me and say pretty much on a basic level that he was the same thing and tell, you know, the exact same stories was comforting, you know. And I remember too, you know, that this is such a vital step. You know, it says that it, you know, the first reason is if we skip this vital, aka necessary to sustaining life, we may not overcome drinking. And when I get done with this, you know, he expressed to me that I'm in a group of people that there's not a whole lot of people that get to that part in Alcoholics Anonymous. A lot of people visit, stick around, thanks for the info, goodbye. You know, it's the desperation needed to, you know, do this work, to step out of my ideas and do somebody else's. And to, you know, do this amount of work is puts me in a different category, you know, and it puts me on the track to continue to do this stuff, you know, as long as I'm thorough and honest. And at that time, I was. I've gone through the steps a couple of times now, and, you know, more will be revealed as we go, you know, but I maintain a relationship with my sponsor, and I let him know when these things pop up, you know. That's what, you know, later in the steps, we continue to do this stuff because it has to be done. You know, I have these epiphanies that are like, oh my God, I forgot all about that, you know, and they happen today. So, I guess that's what I got on that paragraph.
Ryan?
My name is Ryan. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is also Downtown Young and Sober. My sobriety date is January 11th, 2012. And I dressed up to be here tonight for you guys. and I was really prepared. Coming into step five, a little bit about my step four. When I got to the final section of it, the sexual inventory, I had come to that conclusion that I probably had enough information at that point, and I started to back away from the desk that I was sitting at because we were supposed to go over it the next morning. or the next day with my sponsor. And that moment, you know, realizing how much I was about to have to start writing for that section. I had already knocked out the other sections to the best of my knowledge at that time, and it just felt like too much all of a sudden. But having gone through the steps in the order that my sponsor made me go through the steps, or asked me, showed me how to go through the steps, I couldn't just stop there. I was well rooted in the program, and you know, for the first time, all that effort I had put into it, I didn't want to just lose. Anything school related like that, or anything in life that I had put forth a lot of effort toward making, if it got too difficult at any time, I'd drop it, you know, faster than a hot match. But for some reason, I didn't want to drop it. It took a few seconds, and I had realized that I just couldn't walk away from it where I had left. So I busted it out, and my sponsor did not lead with something deep down in secret. He kind of just left that for me to start going over. And we went through it. But there were certain things that I wasn't sure going in, sitting down with him, and it just kept crossing my mind as we were getting ready to start going into the list. I was weighing that option of whether I really needed to tell him that part. You know what I mean? Is it really going to make me any better? That's my little secret. You know, I mean, nobody has to know except for the other person involved in that secret. And I asked him if I needed to tell him something like that. And sure enough, he knows now what it was. And it's something that I wouldn't be proud of doing to this day. And it's something that I don't need to go and do these days, mostly because I had said it then. If I didn't bring that up, I would still be beating myself up whenever I went to do these things. And for that reason alone, you know, that's enough for me to realize how much, I mean, something that little, if I were still doing it, it would just keep piling up. And I would definitely start to weigh the option of a drink today, and it doesn't cross my mind at all. Yeah, that's it for that right there.
All right, thanks. All right, moving on to page 73. A paragraph that starts with "more than most." More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension. That makes for more drinking. Jesse?
Double life. I was probably so apt at it, I had like triple lives. I had a nice network of friends that had no clue about each other because I didn't want them to really intermingle. And I would bounce from one to the other when things got hot. You know, borrow too much money, not going to pay it back, next group. You know, throw up all over someone's couch, next group. You know, these. And the timing was nice enough that, you know, by the time I came back to the group, you know, done a full circle, they were just happy to have me back, you know. And that always blew my mind that, like, people wanted to actually hang out with me. You know, when I did my inventory, I you know, was afraid of myself and, like, who the hell would like me? You know, so these people are crazy because they like me, you know, so they can't be trusted. you know, the lies that I kept up, you know, I had a part of my sexual inventory was on the massive list of people that I told I had sex with, you know, like, and because they were all fancy, you know, just like my resentments, my sexual conquests were fancied, you know, like, and so, you know, my lies had to be kept straight between each group, you know, who knows what I said, you know, I don't really remember what I said, and, It did, you know, that mask was hard to keep up, that the not really letting anyone know, you know, and of course, I'm going to feel like no one knows me, and why do these people know me, because I don't even know who I was, you know, I was everything to everyone, I wanted everyone to like me, I wanted to do whatever it took to make you like me, because I was probably going to maybe try to manipulate and use you later, and then I didn't even know it. That's the beauty of my delusion, is that I'm the nicest guy you'll ever meet, and you need to pay for my drinks. I'm out of money, and that's like the rotation of my groups, you know, and I love, you know, I was in the Navy when things got really bad, and so there was always witnesses to my debacles, and thankfully a lot of them were like me, and we kind of took them as badges of honor, you know, blackout, woke up in D.C. at the mall, you know, bloody and still with my wallet. Makes a hell of a good joke. That's like a pin that we get to wear in the drinking group. I was like, we had a drinking rate in the Navy. We like to pretend it, and I was like the second class or something. But you know, like we use these things as, you know, badges of honor because they were awful. But like we had all done them, you know, and the fact that, you know, we were doing them, we had to like laugh it off. You know, that's how I did mostly. Is a, you know, haha. Put it in the back of my mind. I didn't want to, you know, think of like stealing cars to go. You know, I stole my roommate's car to go pretty much for a booty call. She said, "Hey, come on over." And I said, "Yep." And then I just took what was available for me to get there. You know, these are the things I did in my drunken stupors just to please me. And the stories got really hard to keep track of. And it did make for more drinking. You know, the easiest way for me to forget, like, the misery of yesterday, you know, or the mistakes I did, was to just drink again. And it was gone. And then I was happy again and ready to just, you know, make this night better. You know, every night could be better. And because I've had better nights, so obviously this one could be it. You know, this could, all my checks in the boxes could happen this week. And then I end up passed out, blacked out, waking up in random places, or, you know, vomiting and rebounding. And that was like, you know, the extent of my sprees. You know, and they were very revolting. And, you know, if anyone didn't do the things I did, you were not part of my group. Because those were the secrets we had amongst ourselves. You know, if you didn't have some deep, dark, like bad drinking episode, you probably weren't allowed in our group because we didn't trust you. You know, because you just weren't one of us. Yep.
Thanks, Jesse. So yeah, the double life. Thinking back now, I definitely had a stage character, and like Jesse said, many different stage characters, depending on who I was hanging out with or whether I was at work or not. Most popular of my stage characters was the relationship one. And that's the one that came out whenever I was with my girlfriend at the time, or anyone I was hoping to be in a relationship with of any kind. He was a pretty cool guy. But on top of that, he would wait once he was done with, I would wait. Once I was done with a certain relationship or realized I had done a few too many things on my sprees that didn't really go in line with that way of life, that I was having trouble covering all those clues up. And once the other person in my relationships would slip on anything, I would mount my high horse in front of the office. And one of them in particular, I worked at the same place as her, and I called her out on what she did, and it was something that I had done much worse earlier on, months ago, but I covered it up, and when I was called out on it, I denied it to the grave. Until coming into these rooms, I didn't see anything wrong with that, because I got away with it, and so I was in the right. And that's how a lot of my interactions went with anybody I met, whether it was a relationship or not. It also came out a lot in my driving habits. I would take over the reins on everybody on the road, but I wouldn't be at fault for anything I was doing. I didn't even think twice about any of my actions, those of which endangered a lot of people. And during my sprees, got even worse. Like Jesse said, steal what you can to get where you need to go, because the option's there tonight, and you need to act on that. I just remembered, thank you, Jesse, that I have an amends to make to my dad, and I don't know how I got that car back. Everything, you know, during that time, it was mostly triggered just to go on a booty call, and I endangered so many people, and one of them, I'm not sure what happened. I flashed in and out a few times, you know, fell off a roof in Fredericksburg and woke up at my house in McLean, Virginia, Northern Virginia. That's an hour away. But I had, once getting there, driven for a booty call and hit something, hit a car, and left. And somehow that didn't come back to me. And that was on a restricted license from drinking. drinking and driving. And that night I had gone out on a booty call. The patterns show, and I have a lot of weaknesses, and they didn't seem like weaknesses when they were happening. They seemed like strengths, and even when I never succeeded, I still chalked them up as some kind of adventure that was, you know, I succeeded somehow. You know, I definitely didn't get what I was going for that night, but for some reason I felt good about it and didn't think twice about any of the bad things that happened those nights, until this fourth step thing. Yeah. Thanks.
All right. All right, now we're going over to page 75, the paragraph that starts with "When we decide." When we decide who's to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory and we're prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we're about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. Jesse?
Yeah, that's true. It was, you know, pretty much a no-brainer who I was going to do my inventory with. You know, the way that AA is set up now with this, you know, with our sponsors, you know, that, so, you know, there's meetings to go to, that it's pretty, you know, obvious who I'm going to share, you know, my life with. And I, you know, this part is of the importance to me because, you know, this is the first person I'm letting in on all of me. You know, like, this is, like, who will know me, and I'll continue to be honest. You know, honesty is a staple of this program, and this is the first guy I get to practice it with, like, on a very personal level. Like, he knows about me, and as long as I continue to be honest with that guy, I can, you know, build that relationship. And so he's really the first person that I learned to play with well in AA, you know, for me. You know, then I can carry these principles out into the rest of my life, and I can start being honest with other people, and then it blows their minds that I can be so honest. And I know today that the only reason I'm honest is because of my relationship with God, the actions here, and that it is, again, vital for my sobriety. When I start to lie, even the little white lies, I start to feel pretty horrible. You know, as long as I keep that as part of it, you know, being honest, I get that sunshine, that the sunlight of the spirit that says, here, I get this, you know, just from practicing this honesty about my life, I start to have a spiritual experience, which is, you know, didn't require me to take mushrooms or anything. You know, this is a real spiritual experience due to relationships with his children. And the awareness, the nearness of our Creator, you know, and my spiritual beliefs, this is like the foundation of it for me. You know, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I did not know what a prayer was, how to do one, or any of those things, you know. And so, you know, with the third step prayer as like the foundation, I continue to, you know, evolve that relationship. And again, thanks to, you know, a sponsor, the guy that I illuminate my life with, he gives me more of these, you know, tips, more cement for my foundation. And it was, I swallow our, pocket our pride and go to it. You know, that is, all of me needed to be, you know, revealed. You know, the idea that, I mean, that's why my sponsor shot, you know, with the headshot right away with the deep, dark secret, you know, because from his experience, that's what he forgot to do his first time, you know. And so, you know, and his sponsor taught him the same thing. You know, these are the things that will keep me sick, you know. And so I take this flashlight, you know, and it's just the fact that I have another human being with me, you know, that gives me that strength to, like, go to where I've never really done before. And with the confidence that you guys know what you're doing. You know, if I didn't see the smiles on y'all's face, I would not have accepted what you guys said worked. I would have just thought you were a bunch of con artists, you know, and if I wanted to be miserable, I can do that on my own. And, you know, this, the drink problem did disappear. You know, I even before that, you know, when I surrendered, I had very little ideas of how I needed to have a drink at that time. It came, it was either subsided by going to a meeting or something like that. When I exposed myself like this and let that part out, you know, the ideas of a drink are far and few between, you know, and especially at that time, you know, whether it's just the release of getting all these secrets off, or, you know, it all just comes in a big old package, and I left that night like on a spiritual high, you know, and we'll get to the rest of what I had to do after that, you know, so I'll end there.
Ryan? Yeah, the pocketing of the pride kind of went along with when I was writing those inventories, and I really got to experience it when I was sharing it with my sponsor. A lot of the things that I was proud about that I was writing down ended about halfway through each one, because on the other half of that, I had to write about what I did after that or during that to provoke that. And it really showed me how much of a coward I was and how much of everything that I had done was out of jealousy or fear, and mostly fear of what other people are thinking. I was home last weekend and I went through some files trying to file my little sister's title to her truck. And my dad was out of town, so I was taking care of that for him. And my file was right in front with a childhood drawing, a poem from, it had to be elementary school. And I had cut out this weird-shaped black fetus. It was just this dark object that kind of looked like a baby. I don't know. But next to it was a poem called What If? And it made me realize something. I didn't know that I had these fears all the way back to that young. But it was something along the lines of, at night, these thoughts come to me, the what ifs. And by the end of it, it wasn't very long, 7 lines maybe. But the last line was, what if the what ifs left me alone or left my head? Would I be dead? And reading that at this age, after going through these steps, you know, it's the things that guided my life. All of those what ifs that never, ever, ever stopped started to slow down after releasing this fifth step, or speaking about my fourth step with my sponsor during the fifth step. I became a lot less afraid of all of you guys, of everybody that I got to meet throughout the day. I got to meet them. You know, I didn't have to fear them and what I was supposed to do next. And if I had kept back any of the things that I did that I acted out of what ifs, I'd probably still be acting on those. And I wouldn't be able to tell Graham, yeah, I could speak tonight. You know, I almost did run out, but I saw him coming for me. But I am grateful to have the opportunity to be up here because I have gone through that step with my sponsor, and I'm getting the opportunity to go through it with a sponsee very soon, and I'll get to see how my thoughts have changed now that I'm taking someone through the steps rather than going through them myself. But I'm getting a little off the top of what we're on right there, so. Reroute it.
We are going to read the last paragraph for step five on page 75, starting with returning home. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand?
Jesse? I like to start off, you know, Ryan brought that what ifs thing, and I remember, you know, my head raced like nonstop, you know, especially before these steps, you know, like when I get here, it helps give me that serenity, and I didn't know what that was. You know, my head raced so much with what ifs and what's going on and who's thinking about me and what's going on. When I get this relationship and I dump all this crap, you know, and just like and get it cleaned up, you know, my brain isn't racing as much, and I remember thinking that, like, maybe I'm retarded, you know, like my brain is not working at the level it used to. You know, what the hell is this, you know? And it took like my sponsor going, that's peace of mind, you know, that's the serenity that I get from here, that my brain doesn't need to race a million miles an hour. I used to use that as like the basis of why I was such an intellectual giant, you know. My brain is so powerful, it can't stop thinking. You know, I must be smarter than all these people. They'd drink if they were as smart as me. I gotta quiet this thing down. You know, and that's why this going home and being quiet for an hour was painful. I was smoking at the time, thank God. So I went through like a pack of cigarettes and this book in my hands, you know, and it was like a bad horror movie flashbacks, you know, where I kept like thinking of all the stuff that gets me here, you know, like my realizations, you know, the little hammer smashes on my wall of delusion before it all came down. I realized that I did have a problem, you know, telling the doctor that, like, you know, the doctor telling me that I'm not going to live to be 50. And in my mind, he didn't tell me to quit drinking. Like that, he's just like, if he wanted me to stop drinking, he would have said so. You know, these things come rushing back and they remind me why I'm here. You know, I go back through and I make sure that everything I've done to the best of my ability at that time, you know, that I've smashed any idea that I am like a normal person. It's gone. I'm not. When it comes to alcohol, I am powerless and I need a higher power. You know, that those need to be solidified. And I was talking to someone the other day, like, my idea that I'm like a normal person is like the T-1000. I smash him and I leave him alone for a little while and he morphs back together and I start to think I'm normal again. Like, and I have to again continue to smash it. It's something that like, without the help of all y'all and working with newcomers and seeing that desperation, that horror, that, you know, feel, you know, hearing other people say what I used to feel, you know, like when they lie in bed just, you know, unable to kill themselves, but like, if God would collapse the roof on me, it'd be really nice, thank you. You know, that was like my prayers before I got here, you know, and to hear those coming from other people, you know, I'm blessed with this life I have now, and it requires me to constantly smash the idea that I'm like other, you know, like normal people, that I'm where I need to be. And so, you know, I have this hour of smoking cigarettes and making sure that I'm good, that I've not left anything out. You know, and thankfully with, I think, the help of my sponsor and him throwing that deep, dark secret at me right away, I, you know, threw that out. I didn't have to go back and be like, oh, yo, I forgot this. You know, I'd laid it all on the table. You know, I had, at that point, for whatever reason, I was desperate enough that I fully believed that him and this book and this program and God could do what you guys said it could. And so my faith was in his hands, you know, another building block, you know, this little bit of faith that continues to grow today starts with this idea that you guys know what you're doing. And I just need to have faith that that's going to work for me too. And so I was ecstatic when the hour's over, and I was told to call my sponsor, and he said, all right, you know, now we read the next paragraphs. I think we're going to do that anyways, right? So I'll let Ryan go.
Am I allowed to say ditto? you know, I felt a lot of that too. Just the uncomfortable nothingness that was going through for a little bit. It didn't last the whole hour. Thoughts started to sneak back in, and they do to this day. But when they start to get overwhelming and control my actions, I have the opportunity to step back from that for a minute and say a prayer, speak with the higher power, and find out what the next step really is. It was not easy to stay quiet and sit silently for an hour. But today it's a little bit easier. You know, I was able to get a lot of those secrets off my chest, all of the ones that I could remember at that time. My memory's horrible, so there are still things that get added onto that list that I go through with my sponsor. But to go back and look at the first five proposals, with the first five steps of this program, and ask myself if I had fully done that to the best of my to my best ability, I could definitely say yes to that when I was sitting there. Otherwise, I would have turned around at that point that I talked about earlier when I was writing down the inventory, and I would have ran. I would have been done with this program right then and there. To be able to share them with someone else just kind of solidified them all. If I hadn't done that, then that paper could have ended up probably in the trash after a little while, but very well hidden somewhere where I wouldn't have to act on it at all. Certainly not the ones that are uncomfortable that I had to make amends about. And you know, if I had gotten rid of that paper right then I would have been the decider of who really was important in my life and who needed the amends, and it didn't turn out to be that way. My sponsor got to make those decisions. Yeah.
Thanks. Now we're on to step six. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And we're going to read on page 76 the paragraph that starts with, if we can. If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step six. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing.
You know, and this goes back to, you know, when I really get down to my underlying, you know, the shortcomings, you know, it's not the what I thought. You know, I take things to the extremes, and, you know, I live in pride and ego, fear, lust, gluttony. You know, like those seven deadly sins are the things that I like enjoy. You know, or at least that I did, you know, unknowingly. You know, these are, you know, again, I was without knowledge. I was agnostic even to the fact that I was doing these things. And so with that light shined on it, I can see my part. I can see where these things have corrupted me to a point where I'm hurting others and myself. And so these are the things, you know, that I asked to get rid of. You know, so like my whole idea of how this step was going to go was like destroyed at this moment, you know, and with the seventh step prayer that comes up next, you know, I don't get to choose exactly what goes away. You know, again, if my life is in God's hands, he's the one that decides when and where these things happen. And he uses my shortcomings from time to time to help out other alcoholics. You know, the fact that I'm just like them. You know, if I was instantly cleared of all my shortcomings, then people would be like, I don't have anything in common with Buddha. You know, like, but that's not how it works. I still strive to do these things, and they can creep up when I, you know, let go of my spiritual maintenance. You know, and it happens. It, you know, remove from us all things which we have omitted are objectionable. Can he now take them all, every one of them? You know, and even when I do cling on to them, I still continue to do these prayers, you know, like, you know, as I go through, you know, life today on this way of life, I, you know, is when there's little mile markers when I finally do let go of certain objects that are in my life. You know, I wasn't able to drop them all at once, but I was willing to, you know, and I continue to say those prayers and put my life in God's hands. And when things got sucky enough and it painful and I could not find the girlfriend that would fit my life perfectly, and I finally decided to kind of give that up to him, you know, and drop that stone that's been weighing me down, you know, I get that same feeling I had when I did it all at once, you know, when I got most of it off, you know. And then, you know, then of course God does for me what I can't do for myself, and those things just fall into place without me having to like force that puzzle piece that doesn't fit in there, you know, that square peg in the, you know, round hole. It just doesn't work too well for me, you know. Even the hammer doesn't even help. So, you know, I guess we'll talk more probably on step 7. So
when I asked God to remove those things that I felt objectionable, I didn't really feel anything happen at first, and it has still been a while, a long time coming, to feel them all be removed. It's kind of a daily thing, but some of the decent amount of them have been removed to the extent that they were in my life. And it didn't happen right away. By that I mean I still went ahead and did some of the things I was doing before. Chasing women didn't stop right then. And hurting some of the women that I chase. I was not a considerate person when I said that prayer. Or when I asked God to remove those things, I did not become, you know, a magical unicorn that doesn't hurt anybody. I'm not that. But I don't think that I hurt as many people today as I used to, and I don't feel like I do. Which, you know, whether I was hurting as many people as I thought I was back then, whether that was true or not, I don't know. But internally, I felt just kind of, you know, I didn't fit anywhere. And I felt like I was just kind of ruining things that I came into. Anybody I came into contact with, I probably, you know, didn't make their day any better, probably a little bit worse. And I don't feel that way today. But a lot of the actions that I did before that I did not find acceptable or ideal in my life started to dwindle off. And I don't realize those things until I work with other alcoholics, because I don't personally look at myself. I don't do that step 10 or the one where you take your inventory at the end of the night. I don't do that to the best of my ability. I am very bad at that step. So it is through working with others that I get to see that a lot more, what has changed in my life and some of the mentalities that I have, that I had when I came in here, that I don't have anymore. Yeah.
All right. So step 6 was being willing, and step 7, we humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. So, also on page 76, the paragraph that starts with "when ready." When ready, we say something like this: "My Creator, I am now willing that you shall have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7.
So yeah, 2 paragraphs, 2 steps, awesome. You know, the guy I'm working with right now is like, when do we get to these step things? You know, it's like you'll get to them, and you're going through them. You know, and it's you know, right there. You know, I'm willing, and then I ask God. You know, at least this time, I love on the third step prayer. It has us say the third step prayer, and it says we thought well before taking it. You know, at least this time they tell us to think before we do the 7th step prayer. And this is something, you know, again, when I got here, I had no clue how to pray. You know, all my prayers are taken from the big book for the most part. Now I'm at least comfortable with my, you know, relationship with God, that we can talk and I can ask him things and you know, ask him for strength. But most of mine still come directly from the big book. And this is, you know, when I get to them, they get brought into my life. You know, up until this point, I was doing the third every day, you know, and now I'm at this part, I do 3 and 7. And to this day, I still do 3 and 7. And, you know, I wasn't perfect at it by any means, you know, in early sobriety. But today I can feel like if I get in my car before those things are said, like the radio goes down and I'm on those prayers, you know, like, which isn't to say that's the best. Sometimes it's a while before I get to my car. You know, it's a part of my day that gets done, you know, and even I'll have epiphanies while in my car driving somewhere. And again, Ryan says he has no memory. Mine's, I don't know where it's at. But I'll be like, did I even do that today? And I'll reassure myself that I did. But if I'm asking myself that, you know, I just do it anyways, you know, and I'll say those prayers again. You know, the 7th step prayer has got me through days that have really sucked, where like I'm, you know, I'm chopping up food and I just want to stick that knife into my boss's chest, you know, like, so I say this over and over like a mantra. And the next thing I know, you know, the day's done. And I'm like, yes, I did not kill him. And again, this like goes with the thing I said earlier, is that like, I don't know what defects need to be removed for me to be helpful to his children. You know, I know when it's happening, you know, and if I ask these things, I can be of maximum service to others, and at least, you know, be able to help another alcoholic, you know that he's in the right spot, you know, and at this point, I'm not even on step 12, but my sponsor's already telling me to be helpful and to talk to people. You know, I've already committed that AA is going to be the thing that saves my life, you know, and it's, I can see its benefit already. I'm not even, you know, halfway through. Well, I guess I'm halfway through at that point. Just this ability to ask God to remove those things, you know, I'm able to, you know, shuck that fear and say things that I'm still uncomfortable with, you know, that those things in my inventory hold no weight on me now. I can throw those out when they can be useful. I can say them to a newcomer. I can express, you know, the difficulties I had while going through and maybe make that connection to them, you know. And so these defects of characters, you know, when I'm not doing this stuff, it does get in the way of me being helpful, you know. And then my girlfriend's mad at me and I'm like locked up in my room and I'm not even doing homework. I'm such a sloth that I'm just like on the internet looking at pictures or something, you know, whatever is consuming my energy at that time, you know. And that's why, you know, with this stuff gets done every day, and with me being connected to Alcoholics Anonymous, they can put me on that right track. 7th step prayer is awesome.
Thanks, Jesse. Coming into this one, I didn't pray very much with other people. I thought prayer was a very private thing and that it should just be each individual's own thing. Praying together was very taboo and weird, and I didn't like it. I didn't even like prayer before coming in here, but I had got somewhere with prayer at this point. And so that was very awkward to go through that with my sponsor. But once having actually, I guess leading up to it, knowing that I was about to be saying this prayer with my sponsor was a very gross feeling. But to actually go through it and feel a connection with a higher power and somebody that's helping me go through these steps was something I don't think I had really felt before. And it began my change. It began to change my outlook on prayer. And, you know, I mean, earlier we prayed before this, and it didn't feel awkward at all. I mean, it felt like that's what we were supposed to be doing. And it helped. And to be able to have some sort of a figure of a higher power in my life today, that, and on that day, to ask to remove those things that we listed, you know, he's, like I said, he's removed them when he's ready to remove them from my life. And most of those things I can use to help the newcomers that I meet in the program, and not even just the newcomers. People who have been in this program and are just going through something that I might have gone through before and possibly overcame, or at least know what not to do in that situation. Yeah, it's very helpful to use that prayer to find out what is the next best thing to do at work, in my personal life, in my relationship life, and not do the things that I used to do. And the things that I still think are probably a better idea, turns out they're not.
All right. Thanks. All right, at this time we are going to pass the seventh tradition basket.
We made it.
Seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also the intergroup central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free from outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. All right, at this point, are there any AA-related announcements?
Mike.
Hey, Mike. I got a couple. Jesse Alcoholic, Virginia State Conference of Young People of Alcoholics Anonymous is coming to Virginia Beach this year, May 30th through June 1st. It's going to be on the ocean, so it's pretty sweet. We have a couple of events coming up, one which is a sponsorship workshop. It's going to happen March 22nd, 11 to 1. If you need any more information, see me after the meeting.
All right. Any other announcements? All right, the Simple Actions Group is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Would home group members please raise their hands? Okay. Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We'd like to welcome you. Yes.
Hey, Stephen. Welcome. Hey, Jessica. Welcome.
Hey,
Matt.
Welcome.
Hey, Patrick. Welcome.
Hey, welcome.
All right, great. All right, we have literature available on the table over here in the far end of the room. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you're interested in purchasing any literature. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. And the way our home group handles sponsorship is a little bit different. We're going to have two volunteers up here on this side of the table after the meeting, and it'll be Catherine and Graham. So if you're curious what a sponsor is, what sponsorship means, or you're looking for a sponsor, please come up and speak to either one of them. If they would raise their hands just to identify themselves. All right? They'll be right up here after the meeting. All right, in closing, I'd like to really thank Ryan and Jesse for coming here and speaking tonight. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the steps discussed tonight. All are welcome to attend the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol, a nice Mexican restaurant down here at 22nd and Colonial. It's only about 4 or 5 blocks away. And again, as a reminder, if you're smoking after meeting, like I will be, please step away from the front entrance and try not to do it near the front doors. And there is a bike stand over there next to the bike storage. And can I get a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
I'll do it.
All right, thanks. 164.
Okay, my name's Lisa, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Lisa.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
All right, this time, would you help us close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer?
Car accident
like that.
Thanks.
I
thought I
felt
it.
Whoops.
But I mean, like, forget on purpose, like, for God.
Yeah, yeah.
Live a long time. Yeah. You shouldn't let me in the car.
Our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Woot woot!